High five. Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. My message this morning is entitled, Rejoice in the Lord Always. How many of us have a praise in our heart? How many of us know how to rejoice and out of the hearts of gratitude and thanksgiving? Does that make you rejoice? Hallelujah. Somebody shout it out this morning. Rejoice. Amen. Hallelujah. I rejoice even though I'm a knucklehead. I rejoice. Because I was a bigger knucklehead once upon a time. Hallelujah. God's breaking me, molding me, and shaping me. I was a crackhead on top of all that. Hello, somebody. Lost, misfit, crackhead. Sinner. Wow. None of that sounds any good, does it? There's a lot more things I was. Amen. But don't care to mention them right now. But anyway, I was lost. I was lost. And I am just grateful that God is blessing me every day. God brought me out of the murk and the mire 20 years ago. Hallelujah. And I came through the men's recovery home. Hallelujah. Men, y'all ought to say something. Hallelujah. I know you're loving it. I loved it in the home. I did. I loved it in the home. Boy, I beat that street corner any day of the week. That street corner out there running from the cops and dogs and cats and bullets and all kinds of stuff. Man, I love the home. Hallelujah. I didn't say it was easy. I said I loved it. Amen. I loved it. I was committed. All love ain't about just what you feel. Hello, somebody. But about your commitment, knowing that you're in the right place at the right time and God is doing the right thing in you. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me your Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Chapter 4. I'm going to read one verse here. Hallelujah. And the Apostle Paul in this letter to the church there in Philippi, this is what he says. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Otherwise, he reiterated. He put an emphasis on it. You know, he's not saying, hey, why don't you just rejoice, you know, in the Lord always. You know, I believe Paul is giving a command here from God. I believe that Paul is saying as an ambassador unto the Lord, I believe he as an officer of the army of the Lord there in Philippi, he's telling the troops there, look, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the one who is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Hello, somebody. The Almighty God who created all things. God of second chances, God of mercy, God of grace. Hello, somebody. He's saying, look, rejoice. If you don't have nothing to rejoice, find something because there's something you can find to rejoice over. Hello, somebody. See, there's a whole lot of people not sitting in church this morning looking real nice, smelling real good. Hello, somebody. I don't even want to think about how I used to smell. Out there in their streets. Oh, somebody, do you understand me this morning? I used to look, man. Tore up from the floor up. Somebody said I needed a checkup from the neck up. My goodness gracious. Oh, somebody. Amen. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. The definition of rejoice is to feel or show that you are very happy about something. I'm happy about a lot of things. I don't always wake up in the morning feeling great. But then I do like David, you understand? I encourage myself in the Lord because I remember where I came from. I don't go back in my mind and dwell there, but I remember where God brought me from. That puts a praise in me right there, okay? Because sometimes I don't get up, you know, okay, this is good. Hallelujah, you know. Lord, my body's hurting. You know, I'm hurting. I haven't had enough sleep. And all these things, you know, sometimes we're going to go through some changes. But we have to look at all the things that God has done in our lives. Amen. rejoice. It seems to be hard for Christians to rejoice. Paul is reaching out to the Christians. He's encouraging them to rejoice, of course, in the Lord. Okay, many of us, we rejoice. Hey, Dallas Cowboy fans, y'all rejoicing? Wow, we are many up in here. Hallelujah. Of course, if you're not a Cowboy fan, you know, you may not rejoice over what the boys are doing. But nevertheless, you know, you got a team. Maybe you got a football team or a soccer team. And let's keep the families of those, families and friends of those that lost their lives in the plane crash, the soccer team from Brazil. But your soccer team, your basketball team, your baseball team, you know, some of us have, you know, we're hockey fans. Oh, Lord, looky here. I thought he would say something. You know, Larry, you broke the mold, brother. Hey, really, I don't know. I haven't been out there looking around, but I haven't seen a whole lot of black brothers, man, into hockey. You know, is it a growing thing for blacks? It is? Okay, I didn't know. You broke the mold, brother. The first time I saw Larry shout for hockey, brother, what you talking about, hockey? ancestors from below the equator, homeboy. What do you mean, hockey on the ice, man? No, I like the roller drone, man. You know, hey. But anyway, praise God. I know when your hockey team wins, you probably roll in the floor like I do when the Cowboys win, man. Me and my neighbor, we're so loud. We're so loud. My dog looks at me like, dude, are you serious? Really, man? Really? I don't howl that loud. I don't bark that loud. Are you serious? And really, when they played Pittsburgh, I was actually in the floor. In the floor. Think about how many times you've been in the floor. See, y'all laughing because I'm not the only one, okay? That's why you laugh. You've been in the floor. Go, man. Go. He's gone. Hey. You know, you know how it goes. Hello, somebody. We know how to rejoice, man. Come on. I guess I'm an investor in the Dallas Cowboys. I have some caps and scarves and stuff like that. But they're not making me no money. They're just my team. I love sports, and that's my team. Jesus picked me up out of the murk and the mire. When I didn't have no hope, in the nick of time, he gave me hope. And he gave me a blessed assurance. How much more, you understand, should I be in the floor, coming up out of my clothes like David did? David danced around, went in circles. How much more should I rejoice because I'm no longer in prison, I'm no longer in jail, I no longer have a crack pipe in my mouth? Hello, somebody. Just said farewell to a cousin of mine who died because he had cirrhosis of the liver. I don't know, me and him used to drink together. And I'm saying, man, that should be me too. That should be me too. I might have drank harder. I don't know if I drank longer because he was older than me. I said, that should have been me too. How much more should I rejoice over what God has done in my life? Man, it's something we have to learn. Amen. Something we have to learn. My point this morning is there are things or activities we either directly or indirectly are involved in that we enjoy. Things that we enjoy that make us happy to the point that we rejoice over them. Christians are commanded. I believe this is a command given by the Apostle Paul, an anointed man of God, who God was using in a mighty way, as a matter of fact, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament here. See that he went around, this apostle, and he went around establishing and planting churches all over the world as it was known in those days. And here he is out of concern and out of the compassion and love in his heart for those that God had called him to reach out to. Here he is giving them and pouring into them and telling them, understand, something that he found out. a revelation that he received, something that he knew all about. See, Paul is writing this letter here from where? Hello, somebody. Here's a man who knows how to rejoice even though he's bound and shackled. He's in a dungeon, but he's telling Timothy to rejoice because he knows how to rejoice. You read the story of Paul and Silas down there in the dungeon, you understand. And at midnight, they began to praise God. They praised him so hard that the shackles, the fetters fell off of them. They were set free, and it freaked the jailer out. Oh, no, my prisoner's going to run wild. The magistrate is going to kill me. Back in those days, you lose your prisoner. Hello, somebody. You're gone. But they were rejoicing. They praised the Lord. They rejoice. Christians are commanded to rejoice under all circumstances. In obedience to this possible, it's made possible because of what? Not because of you and I. Not because of you and I, but because of the true joy that God has given us through his Spirit. Amen. That's when you know, that's when you know that you know that you know that you know that God has made a way where there wasn't one. See, you may not have all you want because you might not need all that you want. Hello, somebody. Or maybe God is molding in you, shaping you because you have a desire in your heart and it's not for something sinful, but nevertheless, he's making you wait. Maybe there is some kind of issue. Maybe there's something you're going through in this present moment, you understand, and you're not understanding why you're going through it. But if God is allowing you to go through it, you understand, it's meant for you by him for you to go through that. Not that he's the author of anything, you understand, that you would do in disobedience, but nevertheless, you're going to have to face some consequences, and you're going to have to go through some things, whether you've done it on your own. Because, see, adversity comes from us, it comes from our adversary, and God can send adversity. Hello, somebody. Amen? So God cannot tempt us, the Bible says, with anything evil. Because God can't be tempted with evil. But he will allow something, allow us to learn a lesson in such a way sometimes where, hey, we're on our knees. God, forgive me, please. Remove this thing from me, Lord. And even greater still, we grow to the point to where what we really want as we mature in Christianity, what we really want is to be more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus. I can't think of anything that I want more than to be more like Jesus and to be in his presence. Amen? So the Lord gives us true joy. Amen? Therefore, Christians can be inwardly joyful even when everything around us is falling apart. The reason I'm camping out here this morning, you understand, we're in a season right now. We're in a season. And around Christmas time and various holidays and things, you know, there's people walking around in depression and they're stressed out over the various things, the various issues. Like, hey, I can't afford a gift for my loved one. It's a pressing issue. It's real. You got a heart, you understand, that says, hey, I would love to give. But you don't have the finances. There are people, you understand, that are no longer with us. And we can look back and we remember joyous times together with those people that have gone on. And we wish they were here sometimes. Say, man, I miss, you know, the way me and my brother or me and my cousin, you know, used to get together on Christmas Eve or whatever, you know, or how we attacked that Thanksgiving turkey. Each one of us try to walk out, you understand, with one of those big turkey legs. Various things that come in and they challenge us. There's a lot of depression, a lot of issues. Of course, you got people in the streets that we're called to reach. They don't understand. Some of them say, hey, why am I out here? Some of them know why they're out there. Some of them are satisfied with being out there. I guess for a moment I was satisfied with being out there. It is what I wanted to do. People kept telling me, you understand, oh, it's so hard, you know, it's so hard. I said, you know what, you really, I came to a place of truth. I want to be out here. I want to smoke crack. I want to smoke cigarettes. You know, and I just came to the truth. And I believe that the truth of where I was and the truth set in that says, hey, this is where you're going to be. And I believe that was a revelation from above. God said, hey, guess what? It gets worse than this. Charlie Brown, it gets worse than this. You're going to die and go to hell, and that's for an eternity. I believe that there's people out there, they're struggling, and they want to get set free, and they're waiting, and God has given us a mandate to reach them, to reach them with the message of hope and the plan of Jesus Christ. He's called us to reach them. He's called us to bear a testimony, to protect and guard our testimony. One other thing that Paul is talking about here, rejoice. Sometimes us Christians, man, we walk out there trying to evangelize, you understand it? We look worse than the person that we're trying to reach. I'm serious this morning. Face dropped down, man, lip, you know, like a vacuum cleaner hanging around. Hey, brother. Yeah, Jesus loves you. Don't know how to smile. People want to see genuine deliverance. We can't be playing no games. When we press in to the things that God wills to manifest in our lives, you understand? He gives us a heart of compassion. He gives us a heart for souls. And when we go, we have to be genuine. We have to be genuine. We can't go boasting because we think we did something. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. This morning, God has prompted me to talk about rejoicing, but rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Let's look at what Jesus said. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to quote some scriptures here as we move along. In Matthew 24, 4 through 6, Jesus tells us to take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ and I will deceive, I am the Christ and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Jesus continues on in this message to speak on a lot of other tragic events that are taking place and that are going to take place in the world to come. Tragedies are coming. He goes on in Matthew 24, 12 through 14, Jesus goes on to say, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. King James says, wax cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Hoping we're gone. Okay, before this, but we see the momentum. We see the signs of the times. Okay, we see these things. We're hearing wars, rumors of wars, all kinds of natural disasters and all types of sin and corruption and killing and murders and all kinds of things that are horrific things that are going on in the world. People talking about, well, it's got to get better before it gets worse. No, sorry, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And unless you have Jesus in your heart, unless you're being empowered by the Holy Spirit, you understand, guess what? You'll be along with many that be depressed. Many are committing suicide at an alarming rate in this day and time. children being exposed to various things that weren't thought of when I was a kid. I guess it might have been going on, but not on this scale. Our children are exposed to some ugly stuff. Internet stuff, online stuff, at their schools. But we can't give up because we're running, because we're called to run with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the hope and the plan of Jesus Christ. We have a blessed assurance that the world needs to know about. We need to be rejoicing about it. You know, the Bible says we're a peculiar people. Hello? Somebody foreclosing on that brother's house, man, but he's still beating the bells off the tambourine, singing like he done lost his mind. See, we know that God inhabits the praises of his people. We know the outcome. In the book of Revelation, see, the devil's always trying to remind us of various things that are pressing right now, you know, and any time, you know, he can get a hold on us because we've slipped up a little bit, you understand, and he wants to come in and magnify that thing, like the way he said that a while ago. Make that money seem bigger. Make that $20 seem like $2,000. Like, I'm just not going to make it without this $20, man. God wants to multiply. Hello, somebody. God wants to multiply. God wants to bless us. And he don't mind us asking. God bless me. Doesn't mind that. How many fathers here don't mind their kids saying, bless me? Might not always let us have what we want. Hello. But we don't mind, right? Amen. Man, we want the best for our children. God wants the best for us. So we have a blessed assurance of the outcome of all these things that are taking place. We know or should know how this story again ends, and it should prompt us to do what? Rejoice. Rejoice in the presence of the world. I believe truly that the world is looking for a Savior. I believe that people are confused and know that, hey, things are out of control. And there's nothing that, hey, that president is going to be able to do to bring it under control. Nothing that governor can do to bring it under control. Of course, we need somebody there. We need somebody there speaking to a nation, you understand, concerning the principles and the values of God. And we need to be praying for those men. They have a heck of a job. But things are so far gone. So far gone. Unless God intervenes. Unless the Almighty God intervenes. There'll be many that are perishing. I'm going to put a twist on that because it's really not a twist. It's what we're called to do. Unless we do our job, many will perish. In Philippians 4, 12 through 13, Paul says, I know how to be abased. Otherwise, I know how to live humbly. And I know how to abound. Otherwise, I know how to live in prosperity. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. And then he goes on in verse 13, but he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So rejoice. Praise God. Because that's who we're rejoicing in, the Lord, and what he's able to do in, through, and around our lives. Amen? As Christians who walk by faith and not by sight, we have to learn how to see our present circumstances from God's perspective and in the light of his future promises. So when we look at things from God's perspective, then we don't get all shaken up. And we don't get all shaken up. When you know your God, and that's what it's all about. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus. It's about God being manifested in our life. It's about our faith going to the next level. We're not trusting in what we can do anymore. We're trusting in God who can empower us to do what he's called us to do. Amen? In Romans 8, 37, 39. We see Paul, he writes, and he says, yet in all these things we are more than what? Conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God for us is awesome. It's awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, your mercy, which endures forever. Thank you. While we were yet still sinners and enemies of God, he sent Jesus. Jesus came and died on the cross and shed his blood for the remission of our sins. We must get to the level of faith where we trust in the word of God and trust in the ongoing work of the Lord in our lives through the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. The Apostle Paul also in Philippians 1:6, and this is another thing, we have to have confidence, brothers and sisters. Paul wrote to the same church in Philippi. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you shall complete it until Christ Jesus. Otherwise, he was saying there, Paul is confident that they will maintain their fruitfulness until Christ returns. Paul bases his confidence, which we should base our confidence, not on our own faithfulness, but on the faithfulness of God. Until Christ returns. Amen. God is faithful. What he wills to do for us and through us is amazing. And we cut him short by a lack of faith. Sin will cut the blessings and will cut short what God has called us to do. God wants to use honorable vessels this morning. If there's sin in the camp, God can't use us in the way that he wills to use us. So we see we're able to endure suffering because we know that it's temporal. We know that God has us in the palm of his hands, and nobody can snatch us out of his hands. Now, we can make choices, okay? We can come up out of there, you know, because of something that we're doing contrary to what God has called us to do. Again, like I said, sin. Sin will cut us short. But it's temporal. And we look forward. We look forward to the time where God calls us home. Amen. And we can live in his presence for an eternity. We have to learn how to look forward for that. But in the meantime, God wants to use your life. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless your neighbors, your community that you live in, where you're from. I think it's an awesome honor to be used of Almighty God, that God called me. God called a liar, a thief, a thug, a gangster, dope fiend, low down in the ground sinner. It's amazing. I smoked up my bass guitar out in the world. I told my boss once upon a time, hey, I smoked up my Rottweiler and everything. Brother, how you smoke a Rottweiler? Smoked up everything. Otherwise, I sold him for crack. Smoked up everything. Smoked up the house. Smoked up the car. Smoked up my freedom. Hello, somebody. Everybody hasn't been there, but you see it all the time. People out there right now smoking up their freedom. Smoking up the very breath that they breathe that God has given them. It is through faith that Paul tells us. What does he tell us? Rejoice in the Lord always. God's got a plan for your life. Hello, this morning. God's got a plan for us. God wants to use your life. Hello. God says, hey, don't worry about it. I got you. I got you. In the time of David's life, you understand, David had to go off when they wanted to kill David. His men, his own partners, man, his buddies, you know, hey, they wanted to kill him. they were out, man, and they were out there, you know, and on the battlefield with David, and they came home, and their families were kidnapped by the enemy. And looking at David, David, yo, man, if we wouldn't have been with you, dog, you know, hey, our families would still be here. That David had to go do what? He had to go encourage himself in the Lord. It is the Lord that's going to tell you that everything is going to be all right because I'm going to fight the battle for you and you're going to be all right. The situation is going to be all right. We have to be encouraged by the one who has called us, by the one who has delivered us, by the one who has transformed us, by the one who brought us here this morning, and we should be somewhere else, you understand, on our way out. God of mercy, grace. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, Paul said, look, rejoice always and pray without ceasing. I can't walk around miserable all day. I'm sorry. I can't do it. And I catch myself miserable. All of us, you know, you might be sitting here in church saying, no, I don't get depressed, but no. I believe we all face some depression. I believe we all face some downtime. But what you do about it? Do you wallow in the mire? Does God encourage you? Because if he got you this far, he can take you farther. Men and women in the home, if he got you this far, do you know where you were headed? Okay, some of us realize where we were headed. He got you this far, he's going to take you further. And then you hear the testimonies of those that God has been using for years now. I remember Pastor Pat when he came into the home. You know what I'm saying? You know, Pastor Joe, I used to low ride with him. Hey, amen. Pull up in front of the heroin connections house. On my side, Joe, what you do, man? You just whipped a Huey right here. You know, we were rough, even though, hey, you know, God had reached us. We were still rough, diamonds in the rough. We're still rough, you know. We're still rough around the edges. But to see year after year, God molding and shaping these men and women of God, and so many that are here, such a multitude of people that are here that I can say, you know what, that brother there encourages my life. Chief, when I first met Chief, you're the oldest young man that I've ever met. And it didn't have nothing to do with just his looks, you know. It was like, man, very mature brother, you know. Okay, so I'm telling you young people up in here, you know, hey, God can put wisdom in a young man, in a young woman. Okay? Older people, look, don't be down because God can use them. Right now, man, I tell you, man, my boy Dak Prescott, got back into the football thing, didn't I? Got back into that thing. Rejoice, hallelujah. Hey, he's playing the game like a grown man. Hello, somebody. Anyway, God can use your life. He can put wisdom and give you knowledge. All you have to do is ask. Do what he says to obtain it. We are to consciously practice responding to various circumstances with what? Rejoicing. Now, you're not going to rejoice because you broke your leg. You're going to rejoice because you know the leg going to be all right because you just gave the leg to Jesus. Hello, somebody. You understand? Hey, you know, in those circumstances, in prayer instead of anxiety, and fear and worry and all those things. Pray. I'm going to sit there worried. Sometimes I sit there, man, I know it. Charles, look, Charlie Brown, no. We need to go back here, and the dog follows me yet. You need to go back there, and I'm going. Then I get back there, and I'm praying, and he comes, and he lays right there. Time to pray. You know his daddy been acting a fool. Yeah, Dad, you got the clown on, you know, and hey, you're not treating me right today, and hey, you know, yeah, you need to go pray. Go back there and pray. We got situations, we got things happening in our lives that we're concerned about, we worry about them, okay? I don't want to sit up here and stand up here before you and play holier than thou, like I don't have no issues. Got issues, financial stuff and trying to grow in various areas, and sometimes I'm a knucklehead, and God has to, you know, okay, you ready yet? Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready. Okay, wait. Abba Father, I'm ready. Hey, real deal. Y'all don't get no spankings? Y'all give me a you get a spanking. Amen, but I'd rather have a spanking. Mama used to fly me like a kite and whoop my butt because I was in the middle of the street, but it'd be better for me to whoop you in midair than for my baby to get hit by that car. Come on, somebody. God don't want us to go out like that on stupid. Oh, man, I got to be that down home this morning. I'm at Victory Outreach. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm at Victory Outreach. God has blessed us. Amen. I thank God for my beautiful wife because, boy, she puts up with some things, okay? Looks at me sometimes, really? My husband is gone. But she knows she's married to a man of God. And I know I'm married to a woman of God. And no matter how crazy I can get, I got to always give it to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give God a praise. Presently, you might be a person like myself who a lot of times I ask, why do I have to do things a certain way? Although in the home, they used to tell me to get in the van, and I didn't have to explain to me why I was getting in the van. Just get in the van. Or where are we going? Just get in the van. What are we going to do when we get there? We'll just get in the van. And I learned how to get in the van. That still did not keep me from wanting to know. Okay, now, how about that? It did not keep me from wanting to know. And I was probably going to ask you again while in the van. Hallelujah. Otherwise, what is significant? And I'm going to, can I get the keyboard disappear? I'm going to run over some points here. Many of us ask, what is the significance in me rejoicing in the Lord always? We're going to look at three significant reasons why God exhorts us to rejoice in Him always. Number one is rejoicing is a spiritual weapon to fight off attacks on our minds. See, when you get to think about, when you start reading the Word or you get to thinking about where God brought you from or you begin to study and read the promises of God, then you put something there, you understand, in your mind that will overwhelm that worry. It will overcome that frustration. It will overcome that denial. That's why it's so important for us to study the Word of God. Because the Word of God builds our faith. Rejoicing is about rejoicing is not about trying to pretend you're not in pain when you are. But it's believing that through the focused discipline of rejoicing is something that you, rejoicing is something you have to practice. Hello, somebody. Otherwise, the devil is trying to muzzle you. Shut up. You know you did what you did. I saw you. You did it. Won't you singing that song no more? Turn off Fred Hammonds or Israel Houghton, okay? Put on these worldly metalheads over here. No? Listen to some Tupac. Lil Wayne. Hello, somebody. You done something, the devil done convinced you that you're unworthy to listen to Fred Hammonds. Hello, somebody. Take T.D. Jakes off. You know you ain't got no business watching that. Hello, somebody. Tries to make you guilty and ashamed. The song that you should be singing because the enemy has made you trade in the song, you understand, that would make you forget about your condition and set your mind and your heart on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of your faith. Fear, I tell our singers here, don't let the devil put a muzzle on your mouth. Sing the song with what God gave you to sing it with. Sing the song. God's in control. You know you got the gift, use it. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. That's a shame. God wants to take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. The potential that is in you, you understand, don't let it sit stagnant. Know that God is able, you understand, to take you from glory to glory, faith to faith. To increase you. To increase our territory. Hello, somebody. God is able to do these things, but we have to let go and let God. It sounds like a cliche, but it's the truth. Let go. Let go of that thing that's holding you back. Next time the devil tells you unworthy to sing that song, you understand? Tell him to shut up. I'm going to sing it anyway. I'm going to stomp my feet, clap my hand anyway. David wasn't holier than thou, but nevertheless, you understand, he knew he was forgiven. He knew he was forgiven for the sin that he committed with Bathsheba. Oh, yes, there was consequences that came with that territory, but he knew he was forgiven. He knew the mercy of his God because he had a relationship with him. And in Psalm 51, talks to God genuinely, reminding God of the mercy that is in our Lord and Savior, because he knew him like that and left us the message there that we might be able to read it, to eat it, to let it marinate, to chew on it, so that we know, hey, here's an example of a man that sinned terribly. The king, no less. High-ranking official, no less. But God forgave him. And later on in the Bible, it says that David was the apple of God's eye. A man after his own heart. We can't pretend, you understand, that sometimes that there's no pain, but what we have to learn how to do is rejoice, clap your hands, stomp your feet. Anyway, beat the tambourine, play your music even louder. Play that Christian music even louder and begin to sing about Jesus. I guarantee. The Bible tells us and gives us a guarantee. I'm not going to say I, the Bible does. Says, submit unto God, resist the devil, and he will. I love this word, will, shall. It's a promise thing. If you submit unto God, it didn't say resist the devil and he'll flee. It says submit to God. Do it in order. Submit unto God, resist the devil, because that's where you're going to get the power. That's where you're going to get what you need, you understand, to resist the devil. So it's believing that through the focused discipline of rejoicing, that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, as it says in Philippians 4:7, will be upon us. The second thing we see here is rejoicing also moves God to shower his blessings upon us. In the book of Psalms 22:3, it says that, but you, O Lord, are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel, otherwise in the praises of your people. God inhabits the praises of his people. He sits down on our praise, our rejoicing. Amen. And you start praising God, he shows up. He shows up in a mighty way. Amen. See, this is not an option to a wise Christian. It's not an option. If you're a soldier, no soldier is going to refuse to use a weapon if the odds increase or the odds are against the soldier. Why not be in the middle of the battle with my gun sitting on the ground, my sword sitting on the ground, you understand? And the enemy's charging and it's sitting there and I won't use it. Even more so, God wants us to be on the offense. Hello, somebody. Need to start going into the enemy's camp. Kick that devil up off your sofa. Ah, no. Get up. Gotta go. gotta go. It's these angels. You're encompassed with angels. Yeah, I gotta go. Submitted unto God, resisting the devil, and he will go. He will leave. And for those who say, hey, I lack faith, there are two ways to increase your faith. Number one is study the word of God. Romans 10, 17 says that, so then faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. People do not come to a saving faith unless they either read the word or study the word or have the word preached to them. And that's what we get when we come to church. We have some awesome preachers who are Bible thumpers. And we get the word here. I had to listen to someone one time tell me, well, I don't get fed at Victory Outreach. Well, if your mouth is shut and you got the spoon down or the fork down, I guess not. You know, really. Got to open your mouth to eat, which means, hey, open your heart. Open your mind, okay? Don't get turned off by a building pledge. Hello. We got building pledges. Sometimes the pastor or one of the brothers come up here and they say, well, we want to pick up the building pledge or a reminder about the building pledge, and then, boom, we just shut all the way down. So, ain't going to receive nothing for the rest of that service. Or you got shut down. Or you get convicted. Or so you think it's conviction. You get condemned. Because the pastor hit some. Uh-oh. Did he see me out there? Who saw me, man? That he's talking about me right now. Man, who saw me out there like that? You know? And sit down. Completely shut down. Because now the enemy's condemning you. About something that you did. Let go, let God. Amen. Conviction draws you nearer to God. If you catch yourself moving away from God because of the way you feel or something, I bet you it's not conviction, it's called condemnation. And it's not of God. See, I know how to come to God and say, God, forgive me, Lord. Show me the way up out of this. Show me the way to overcome this. Us to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Amen. But when faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word of God. People do not come to a saving faith unless they either read, like I said a while ago, read the word or have the word preached to them, study the word. Isaiah 55:10-11 says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word, God says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it will accomplish everything in which I send it to accomplish. Amen. But guess what? God's word is accomplishing something in your life right now. He sent it forth to accomplish a work in your life. He's molding and shaping us. Amen. God's word will accomplish that. The second thing, get the worship team up here, is to pray for God to add to your faith. Put a fire. Assurance within you that rejoicing always in the Lord and that it becomes a priority in your life. It's a funny thing that when I catch myself without a hunger, I'm not hungry, or I'm not fired up, which I should be all the time about what God is doing, about what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. When I catch myself like that again, like I said, I have to encourage myself in the Lord. But that's when I put forth some of the things that I'm talking to you about. I have to start singing, man. I have to start singing about Jesus. Go off into the Psalms and begin to read. Read out loud. Read out loud. Begin to pray. Begin to press in. Be encouraged in the things of God. I have to constantly go over the promises of God and know that God's real. And he's able. He's real and he's able. So in closing this morning, I want to encourage you to seek God ask God to put a new song in your heart. Give you a new word. Take you to the next level of your faith in Him. Because it's trusting in Him that releases us from those things that are binding us, keeping us from moving and having the liberty to move in the Spirit and accomplish the things that God has called us to accomplish. And to be able to rise up with a genuine rejoicing in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be or where I need to be, but Lord, I'm on my way because of you, because of who you are, not because of who I am. So be grateful to God who has already begun a work in your life and be confident that he's going to complete that work. This morning, I'm going to ask, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you don't know Jesus this morning, you would like to know Jesus, if you haven't accepted the free gift of salvation, after I pray here, I'm going to have an invitation for you to come and accept that free gift. But see, this season that we're in is Jesus is a reason for this season. We celebrate. Now, some people think that this is all a cliche, but we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago. He left his place in heaven to come down here amongst sinners because of his love. And he came down because there had to be a sacrifice. There had to be a shedding of blood. There had to be a perfect and supreme offering that covers our sins. No more temporary coverings, but to cover our sins, to set us free from the bondage of condemnation, to give us a blessed assurance for an eternity. So he came and he hung on a cross. He was born as a baby. He came, he was born to die. And over 2,000 years ago, he fulfilled the reason for his coming. And now those of us that believe on him and we accept the invitation for this free, to receive this free gift of salvation, all we have to do is believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died and shed his blood for our sins. All we have to do, and the Bible says we're saved. We're saved. Then God takes us to a place. He takes us to a place in our hearts and minds where we begin to trust and we begin to be convicted. We allow God to do a deeper work in us. We begin to grow as Christians. So this morning, I'm going to pray right now. Heavenly Father, God, we give you thanks and praise this morning, God, for your word, my God. Sometimes, Lord, we find it hard, many of us, to rejoice. But God, we want to thank you this morning. We know that we can come to you, Lord. Free us up from all the things, Lord, that are pressing us not to clap our hands or rejoice or shout, because we're so glad that we're not perishing this morning. Lord, free us from those things that hinder us, my God, this morning, from being all that you've called us to be, God. Lord, your word has gone forth, my God, and I pray, Lord, that it is stirring within the hearts of the hearers this morning, dear Lord God. And that, Father, that, Lord, that they begin to release their hearts to you, my God. Release their minds to the truth, my God. That, Lord, your truth, dear Lord God, will enrich them, transform them, Lord, and allow them to take the steps of faith, Lord. We know that faith is not of us, but is of you as a gift, Lord, that you give us, my God. And that initial faith that will bring them forth this morning, that it does so, my God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. This morning, if that be you this morning, in this altar call, If you want to receive the free gift of salvation this morning, like I said, all you have to do is believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you can receive that free gift. If that be you, I want you to raise your hand this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. See your hand, brother. I would like everyone to stand. This morning, there are those of us that might be going through some things. We might have some issues. Maybe the enemy has us muzzled. We won't open our mouths and rejoice. We won't clap our hands or stomp our feet. You know, we don't get excited for some reason about God's word. Which every time I read the word, I get excited. But I haven't always been like that. And you, this morning, I want to pray with you, pray for you, that God release you from that bondage that holds you still and keeps you from receiving and coming forth and receiving the things. It's not just about an altar call. What it's about, you understand, is to call upon your heart that you would submit unto God this morning. Stepping out to the altar is a matter of faith and believing that where you meet God at this moment, that it's right here. It can be right there where you're at. But nevertheless, if you need prayer this morning, I want you to come forth this morning as they begin to sing this song. We'll pray together. We'll ask God to remove those chains, those fetters, those things that bind you, that you might be able to loose and rejoice. Offer up a praise of thanksgiving unto God this morning. Hallelujah. Give him your heart.